Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be eternally condemned. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And I am sitting across the table today from my favorite person in the whole wide world, my wife, Debbie. And Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff.
And so we were talking about what to speak about today. And Debbie said, well, you know, I'm doing this study for women that we just started last Thursday. And she and Rochelle Schroeder, Chris's wife, teach that together. And she said, we were talking to the ladies about the gospel and about believing the right gospel and not a different gospel that is so prevalent today where people come out with a different gospel. And I realize there's lots going on in the news today. For those who are sports fans, we know that the PGA merged with the LIV Golf Tour, the Saudi-backed golf tour, LIV Golf, and in a shocking reversal, a shocking piece of hypocrisy by their commissioner, Jay Monahan. And we hope to get, if not today, tomorrow, a PGA Tour player on the Corn Ferry Tour, my friend Zach Fisher, to comment on that. But it's really a disgraceful thing. And all that we're seeing in our world today is just, it's 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many a pang. And we see that in ministry, and we see guys get into the ministry for the money. And so many of them in the charismatic persuasion, the you know, it's all about money, send in your $1,000 pledge or whatever. Those guys pervert the gospel for money. People sell out their morals for money. But as we bring it back to Galatians 1 and the gospel, Debbie, your first lesson to the ladies was titled what?
Well, it was talking about just the fact that, number one, we're called as believers to be disciplined, to discipline ourselves in, train yourself to be godly. So to discipline ourselves in such a fashion that we work at being godly. We don't just not putting emphasis on it. It takes intentionality. And we talked about the fact that the reason that this is so important to be disciplined is because even within the church, there are not very many disciplined believers. We just don't see that. And so it's just so important. And, you know, we've talked about this before on the broadcast, Jeff, where based on our God-given temperaments, for some of us, it's very easy to be disciplined or easier to be disciplined. And for others, it's not. But that is no excuse, because we are all called to that. We are all called to be disciplined and to cast aside those encumbrances that entangle us so that we can run the race that is set before us. And one of the first disciplines that we talked about this last week was just the discipline of training your mind in such a way that you believe the true gospel, that you are not persuaded or you don't bend or kowtow in any way to the fake gospels that are out there that our culture just is throwing in our face right and left. And you know, we talked about the fact that when something is so off from the Bible, it's easy to spot that. Mm-hmm. But when it's barely off and it sounds good, you know, it's harder to spot those things. And that's why we have to be disciplined in the study of God's Word and in our time with Him and our relationship with Him, so that we can be very aware of even that slight off in the gospel, because that's what we're seeing. I mean, we are inundated with it in our culture. Every TV show that we watch, every store that we walk in, it's just everywhere.
Well, and that's true. We do need to be so so well versed on the true gospel that we can recognize error just like that.
Right.
You know, it's like the old illustration about the FBI people that are checking for counterfeiters. They immerse themselves in the genuine, so they know everything about the genuine bill, and then they're able to spot a counterfeit. Oh, this is not right. That's not right. And if we don't discipline ourselves to really understand the gospel, you know, the good news about the gospel, Evangelion, which means good news, but the great thing about it is a child can understand it. It's not complex to where you have to have an advanced degree to understand what the gospel is all about. But at the same time, the gospel is very, very deep, and there are things that we don't know at the beginning that we come to know in a deeper way. You know, a person can't come to Christ unless they realize that Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. So the person of Christ is critical. They can't come to Christ in a saving way unless they understand it's by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. So just like in Galatians, they were trying to mix in grace and works together. This is how you're sanctified. And he said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, obviously, it was hearing with faith. It wasn't about works. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? So this idea that it's God's grace plus our works that equal salvation and sanctification, no. It's all about God's grace. So warped Christology, a gospel of works, and then the gospel of easy believism, where there's no repentance. You just, right. Oh, sure, I'll check a box. And do you want to have Jesus? And here we'll give you a free sucker if you say yes. And that kind of, oh, sure, okay, I will. And, you know, it's a free gift. And it's kind of like, you know, you go to a trade show and you walk by and they give you a bag and say, hey, you want one of our pens? You want some candy? You know, that's a free gift. Salvation is not a free gift like that. To receive the gift of salvation, we have to surrender our lives to Jesus. We have to turn from sin and turn to Him and give all we know of ourselves to all we know of Jesus, and then He gives Himself to you.
Well, I think it's important that you talked about the person of Jesus, because that is so fundamental, and that's what seems to be get so warped in our culture, because you hear people talk about all the time. We just saw this on a documentary we watched where in terms of just justifying your own sinful behaviors, whatever they may be, they will have this argument. Well, you know, Jesus loved people. Well, that's true. Jesus did love people. You know, Jesus loves. Jesus is all loving. It's like, okay, yes, but there's an element to that gospel leaves out, which you touched on, and that is, okay, yes, Jesus loves you, but He loves you enough to not leave you in your sin. And you know, we've talked about this before on the air. It's like you don't have Jesus come to you in your sin and sit down and have a party. He wants to take you out of your sin, cleanse you, make you clean, make you whole. Then you have the party, you know. And our culture is so different with that, and we are so inundated with that that it becomes easy to start believing that, to get confused by that, to get off track by that. And like we said, it's like, okay, that's a portion of truth, but it isn't 100% truth, because Jesus is balanced between truth and holiness, and His holiness is probably the number one attribute to describe Him would be His holiness, and His holiness can't tolerate sin. His holiness is loving, but in loving, He deals with sin.
Right.
He doesn't just allow you to stay in it and stay in fellowship with Him.
Well, He's full of grace and truth, and it's not one or the other, it's both, full of grace, full of truth, and we speak the truth in love. And how does a person get saved? Through the truth. And when we come to know the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can't come to a Jesus who's devoid of truth and say, well, that Jesus can save me. That's right. A Jesus out of your own imagination.
Right.
I remember Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, the Jesus of the liberal is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the cultist, the Mormons, is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the cultist is not God. That's one of the marks of every cult. They deny the full deity of Jesus Christ. The Jesus of the Muslim is not the Jesus of the Bible. You know, Muslims talk about Jesus, but he's not the Jesus of the Bible. And so it's only the Jesus of the Bible who can save. And so a warped Christology. I like what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, I'm afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Another Jesus? Is there another Jesus? Yeah, there's a Jesus of your own imagination. The Jesus of the liberal, the Jesus of the cultist, the Jesus of the Muslim, the Jesus of the Mormon. Another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or you receive a different spirit which we have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted. You bear this beautifully. He's saying, what's your deal, guys? Why are you accepting these people that come with another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit? There's only one Jesus. There's only one gospel. There's only one spirit. And that's the only one that saves.
Right. You know, as you were talking about that, I just thought about the fact that I think for so many, because they're not courageous, they're not grounded in what they believe, they don't have the ability to stand up to that and say no. And no, that is not correct. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. And I had just gotten this book from a gal downstairs. It's a book by Alistair Begg called Brave by Faith. And he was in this book, I mean, I'm only pages in, but he is talking about the fact that, you know, for decades in America, to be a believer in Jesus Christ was the norm. I mean, to believe the gospel was the norm, but it's not any longer, because we are in a day and age where Bible-believing Christians are not. It's not just that they're not accepted and they're not in the majority, they're actually ridiculed. So, I mean, there's been such a paradigm shift in that. And there's a great quote in here from Tim Keller that says this: we are entering a new era in which there is not only no social benefit to being a Christian, but actually a social cost. In many places, culture is becoming increasingly hostile towards faith, and beliefs in God, truth, sin, and the afterlife are disappearing in more and more people. Now culture is producing people for whom Christianity is not only offensive, but it's incomprehensible. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in our culture. And that's why it for us as believers to be able to withstand that, to be able to be the salmon swimming upstream against the tide, we've got to be disciplined. And we've got to discipline ourselves in the study of the Word, in prayer, in our relationship with the Lord, because that doesn't just happen. There are elements fighting against that happening. And so we have to have a lot of intentionality in our walk with the Lord and in growing in Him to make sure that we are bulking up our spiritual muscles, as it were, to be able to fight off the lies of the culture.
Right. And the other thing that's important with that, so if you're a young Christian, it's really, really critical to be with, to be in a solid Bible-believing church, to be discipled by solid Bible-believing Christians that can discipline you in godliness and help you to know the truth of the gospel so that you can recognize the lies of the enemy, because the enemy is at work to try and pull us away. He's a deceiver, he's a liar, and the father of lies. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, joined by my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about a different gospel, the gospel of the enemy that's permeating churches and leading people astray. We need to know the truth, walk in the truth, and be sound in the truth. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about the gospel and really the dangers of a different gospel. Galatians 1:6, Paul says to the Galatians, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." A different gospel. What is a different gospel? It's a different gospel has a different Christology. Jesus Christ is not the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's not God in human flesh in a different gospel. A different gospel has a works attached to it. Works are the result of salvation. They're the fruit of salvation, not the root of salvation. So it tries to stick works in there. And Paul makes it clear in Romans 11:6, if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So it sticks in works. And then what we're seeing today, it's a gospel of easy believism. That's the different gospel, that it's just a tack on. It's not a surrender of your life to Jesus. It's just a, oh, sure, I'll accept Jesus. And people use that term a lot. Well, I accepted Christ. Accepted Christ is not a biblical expression.
Right.
Received Christ is a biblical expression. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But, John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And Debbie, you said you had a good quote about this.
I did. I just love this quote. It says this: the gospel of Jesus Christ is unrelenting in seeking to convert every area of our hearts and lives. The gospel is all-encompassing. It is, in fact, the only source of godliness. Search anywhere else, and you have nothing more than self-reform at best and idolatry at worst. And, you know, that's just so much what we see. And I was thinking back, and I can't remember exactly how many years ago this was. I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago. There was a book that came out called Girl, Wash Your Face. And it was written by, what was her name? Let me look it up real quick. Okay, yeah, Rachel Hollis. And it was grossly popular. I mean, people all over the internet were talking about it, and that to me was my first red flag, when everyone across the gamut of humanity was talking about this book. I thought, I don't know so much about this. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get this and I'm going to read it. And it wasn't like it was a bold-faced blasphemy that was in this book by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, she had a lot of good things to say in this book. However, it was the easy believism. It was not representing the true Jesus of the Bible, because repentance, turning from sin, dying to self and depending on what Christ had done for you to change and reform you and make you and mold you into his image, that was nowhere in the book at all. And so it was like, okay, this is misleading. It is a misleading book, because it's like, okay, hey, yeah, girl, you do it. You wash your face. You pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You quit doing X, Y, and Z, and then life is going to be great for you. And some of those things that she talked about, like I said, those were good things, but it all boiled down to, okay, I'm not looking to one source to provide this strength for myself. I'm looking to myself to provide this strength for myself. And we have to just be so careful of that, because that, again, on paper, is like, okay, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. My ear is tickled by this, but it was not representative of the true gospel.
Well, it says in the book of Jude, just one chapter, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints," for the true faith. And then he says this: "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed." Unnoticed. That word, if I remember correctly, when I preached on this years ago, it's like a word that would describe getting into the water without making a ripple. You know, sometimes you see how an alligator or a crocodile, they can get in the water so gently. And so they come in unnoticed. Those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. And what do? These certain persons, they're ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. That's a license to sin. And deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 1:4, easy believism. Hey, you just, it's the greasy grace, as some people call it. God's grace covers everything, doesn't really matter how you live, and there is no repentance in that kind of a twisted gospel, because what are you repenting of? You know, the Lord just loves you, he wants to save you. You really don't have to adhere to anything. You just have to...
You make mistakes, but you're not a sinner separated from God.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Lord, as one church had in their bulletin, how to become a Christian, Lord, I'm sorry for my mistakes. Mm-hmm. Come into my life. Amen. Something right. Like that. So here's the thing about the good news. So euangelion, the Greek word for gospel, means good news. And the good news is good news only when you understand the bad news. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, your sin, righteousness, the Lord's righteousness, and judgment, the judgment that comes to sinners. And so we have to understand Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news of the gospel. Because the bad news gets you ready for good news. When you understand I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner, then you look to the Lord and cry out, Lord, save me.
Well, we talked about this last week. I think Rochelle talked about this, where it's the significance of the gospel is that it defines us. It's not until we understand the gospel fully and what it means, that we can really know who we are, that we're made in the image of God, that we are made male and female. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on of those things, that we have value, that we have worth, and it's not because of what we do, it's because of what God has done for us. He created us and what he has done for us. And We're the only created thing besides angels who can hear God's word and respond to it. We're the only creatures that can do that. And that's why it's so important that we be in his word and know what that gospel is. So, Jeff, just for those who may just be listening, briefly tell us, in a nutshell, just bullet points, what is the gospel?
Well, the gospel is the good news that even though you and I are sinners and we can't save ourselves, we're helpless and hopeless, we're on the highway to hell, God loved us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16 has been called the gospel in a nutshell. So God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. That implies that you are perishing without him. So we should not perish. That's why the Lord came. If we'll put our faith and trust in him, then we're not going to perish, but we'll have eternal life. And it goes on to say in John 3:17, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. I mean, he didn't have to send Jesus into the world to do that. He would have just said, hey, you're sinners and you're going to be condemned for all eternity. But he sent his son into the world that the world might be saved. As Jesus said, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, to give his life a ransom for many. And so that is the gospel. If you will understand that you're a sinner, you're lost, you can't save yourself, but Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he rose again from the dead, and you put your faith and trust in him and him alone, you turn from sin and turn to the Savior, you'll be saved. Whoever believes in him that way, the scripture says, will be saved.
Well, we talked about also that the gospel is just everything. I mean, it's the starting point of everything, because it defines us. You know, that we're made in the image of God, that it motivates us, it gives us purpose in life. It tells us kind of how we fit into God's plan for this world, that we're to be a witness for him, that we're to be in close relationship with him. And then it's really the only thing that satisfies us. I mean, we can look to all these other things. We can look to social causes. We can look to material things. We can look to food. We can look to sex. We can look to all these other other things to satisfy us, but they're only temporary. The only thing that's going to truly fill that God-sized hole in our hearts is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who's going to fill that.
Well, and the biggest barrier and obstacle to people receiving Christ as Savior and Lord is pride. Mm-hmm. And that is what keeps people. Pride sends people to hell more than any other sin. It's pride. It's the big I. The middle letter in the word pride is I. And what is the first temptation to Eve in the garden? You eat of this fruit and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so people have this desire to be their own boss, captain of their own ship. I'm going to be my own God. And not from the sense of people think they're deity, but they want to be in control. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to yield to anybody. As it says in Luke chapter 19, the people, when Jesus told that parable, they said, we don't want this man to reign over us. And that's at the heart of sin. Even during the millennial kingdom, you see that in the final rebellion, Revelation chapter 20. The devil is confined for 1,000 years, put in his prison, then he's released from his prison, and he deceives the people living on the earth at that time. And he gathers to himself those rebels like himself, like the sand of the seashore. And they basically say, in a day and age when you can see the Lord, when you experience his dominion and rule on the earth, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and everything is wonderful and perfect on the earth during the millennial kingdom, and they still rebel against Jesus. Why? Because we do not want this man to reign over us. At the heart of sin is self. I want to be in charge.
Well, you know, we talked about last week that really, when you boil it down, there are two ways that you can live. Really only two. You can live your own way, where you just reject God, you're your own boss, you do things your own way, you're in control of everything, you lead your own life, you think your own thoughts, you do all of those things. And the result is that you end up condemned, and you end up facing death, and you face judgment. Or you can live life God's way. You can acknowledge him and submit to Jesus as Lord. You can accept him into your heart, receive him into your heart as Savior and Lord, rely on what he did, not on your own strength and on your own abilities. And the result of that is that you receive forgiveness from God and you have eternal life. And it's living God's way that enables life to make sense. Mm-hmm. Life makes sense when you do it his way.
Right. The old expression is really true. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And what that means is, even as a young believer, am I yielding everything in my life that I know of to his lordship? Or are there things, am I portioning off pieces of my life and say, well, Lord, you can be Lord on Sunday, but I'm going to do what I want to do Monday through Friday in my business life, or Lord, I'm going to do what I want to do in my social life? Or when you're in control like that, Jesus is not Lord. Lord means boss, master. And no doubt, every Christian, we have areas in life where we struggle. And we know, okay, the Lord needs to be Lord in this area, but this is a hard area for me. And so we have to work on that. And we get other people to pray for us. Pray for me in this area. Maybe it's an anger problem, or maybe it's a bitterness problem. I know I need to forgive this person for what they did. I'm struggling to do that because, especially people, Debbie, you know, with maybe a bad relationship with parents, and the parents are continuing to do things that bring up all those feelings. That can be a real struggle. But when you walk with God, you're every day, you're casting your burden on him, and you're saying, Lord, I want you to be Lord of all. I want to go your way, not my way. Jesus, I want you to sit on the throne of my heart and not me. As the old expression goes, in every Christian's heart, there's a cross and a throne. And when self is on the throne, Christ is on the cross. But when self is on the cross, then Christ is on the throne. And that's how you live the Christian life. James, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me.
Well, and you know, so often the truth of the gospel, even if we have received it, it can become stale in our hearts. And God forbid that we allow that to stay that way for any length of time after all that Christ has done for us. But it happens so often that we lose the awe of it, the enthusiasm of it. And we have a group of ladies that are not able to come to our Bible study every week, but most weeks they're able to come, and they are coming from a rehab home that they have gotten out of rehab, and they're kind of living in a I don't know what, not halfway house, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, their lives have been so radically transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and receiving him into their heart, surrendering their will to his will, accepting the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that he has offered to them. They are, number one, they soak up every word like a sponge. But number two, they have not gotten over the awe of their salvation.
Right.
And we challenged the ladies this last week. It's like, hey, think back and remember when you first understood what the gospel was and you received it into your heart, and the difference, not just for today, but for all eternity that made in your life.
Yeah, as David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And we need to be joyful as we think about the goodness of God and what Jesus did for us when he died for us and rose again from the dead. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you as we are focusing in today on the gospel. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, joined by my wife, Debbie. And we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking, Debbie and I, about a different gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul talks about the fact that the Galatians were deserting Christ and his grace for a different gospel. The Judaizers had come behind Paul, and they were mixing in works and saying that you had to have the works of the law in order to be saved, and the works of the law mixed in with God's grace to produce sanctification and growth in the Christian life. And Paul said that is ridiculous. See, the Christian life, the true Christian life, you have the right Christology, who Jesus is. You have the repentance, true repentance, turning from sin and turning to the Savior and giving your whole life to him, putting your faith and trust completely, not 80%, not 90%, not 95%, but your whole being. You receive Christ as Savior and Lord. You surrender your life to him, and you say with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then you are saved, and you start the Christian life by grace through faith, and you continue in the Christian life by grace through faith. It's faith all the way, faith in God's grace, faith in the Word of God that he graciously gives us, called the Bible. So we don't want to embrace a different gospel, and as believers, we need to know the truth, walk in the truth, be sound in the truth, and be able to refute those who are trying to put arsenic in the Tylenol, so to speak, who are trying to poison the truth and make it seem like, oh, this is real close to the gospel. No, it's, we have to have true north when it comes to the gospel, and you can't divert from that, as Paul says very strongly. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And he says it again in Galatians 1:9. As I have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Let that person go to hell. It is serious, strong language from the Apostle Paul. Well, we're going to the phone lines right now, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you. And we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, happy couple. How are y'all this morning?
Very good. How are you?
Good. I sure appreciate y'all, and I pray for y'all.
Thank you.
As often as I think of you.
Well, I appreciate that.
You kind of almost choked me up the day before yesterday when you're talking about families, but the Lord used your dialogue to remind me how much my mom has, especially has, and grandparents, but especially my mom, has prayed for me over the years without me even knowing it or not even being specific. Yeah, that connection. But I'm a grandparent like y'all are now, about the same age and all, and deep into grandparenting. But we pray more for our kids now than we ever did while we were raising them.
Yeah.
But for today, you know, I was thinking, what is the hardest thing we would have to do if something great, like we found out we were going to become a grandparent for the first time, like y'all did recently, or we won the lottery or something like that. What would be the hardest thing to do, Jeff? It'd be to keep our mouth shut and not want to go tell somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's different about our salvation when it's not only the best thing that's ever happened to us, but it's the best thing that's ever happened to anybody else, and it's happened for whosoever will may come? I'm just wondering, and I'm mellowing in my years, wondering why I didn't share with more people earlier, but now it's almost become a regular part of my conversation when I meet people. I want to talk to them about Jesus first, and they don't draw back from it.
Amen.
They're just almost pleasantly surprised that you care, because there's so few people in the world that seem like they do.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think it was the one of those guys, Penn and Teller, who are entertainers. I think it was Penn.
Right.
And he said he's an atheist, but he had somebody witness to him, and he respected them for doing that, because he said, hey, if you really believe that without Christ, a person's going to die and go to hell, why aren't you telling more people? You know, if you believe there's a bomb inside an office building that's going to go off and blow everybody up, you don't know when it's going off, but you just know that it's going off, you would be compelled to tell everyone in that office building, hey, you need to get out and you need to be saved from this destruction. So I agree, Scott, and Christians, when we lose the joy of our salvation, as the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. When we lose the joy, and when we lose the exhilaration of knowing Christ, and when we're not growing in our faith, when we're starting to get stale, then we quit sharing. And as we talk on this program all the time, shine and share. Shine is your life, share it comes from your lips. But we are called to be witnesses, and we witness through the way we live, and we witness through what we say, and the shine and the share need to be connected. If you're not living for Christ, but you're sharing about Christ, and your life doesn't reflect that Jesus has made a difference, people see you as a hypocrite, and they don't heed what you say. But when you're living for Christ and speaking up for Christ, that's a powerful, powerful witness. So God bless you, my brother. That's a good word. And so as we walk with the Lord and walk in the light with Him, we need to open our mouths and tell people the good news that Jesus does save from the guttermost to the uttermost. So God bless you. We have Vernon on the line from Kentucky. Vernon, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, brother, man. I was thinking about, I've thought about this many times, which I have not been able to do. Every time in the past, I wanted to go back and to reminisce, I guess, about the place and time. I don't remember the exact time when Jesus came into my life, and it was pretty dramatic. I felt that weight come out of me, and I felt like I was floating, literally floating, and I was living with my future wife, and I had the Holy Spirit he said to me, what you going to do about that lady in your home, so to speak? And I went in there, and she had backslidden because of circumstances in her life, and I finally went in and asked her. I said, Betty, I passed her two times, and I didn't want to say anything to her, but I finally spoke to her, and she accepted Jesus the same night. So we both got saved the same night. So what I'm trying to say is, if a person could go back, like a place, and to just remind them, like a monument, so to speak, when they got saved, maybe that would be a blessing to them.
Amen. That's a good point. And so everybody needs to have his or her testimony down. And we need to be able to share it at a moment's notice, whether it's a condensed version or whether it's a longer version, depending on how much time you have. But we need to know when we came to know Christ. And for some people, you know, when I preach and say, you've heard some preachers say, unless you know the date, the time, the hour, you're not really saved. I don't do that to people, because some people did get saved when they were younger, and they may not be able to pinpoint, well, it was Monday at 3:30 in the afternoon, but they just know, hey, when I was 8, I trusted Christ, and I remember praying to receive him, and Jesus has changed my life. Everyone needs to have a strong testimony that is solid. It's not mushy. It's not wishy-washy. It's not like, well, I don't know, maybe when I was in between the ages of 7 and 12.
Or I've just always believed this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another one you hear a lot. Well, I've always believed that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I tell people this all the time. It's kind of like becoming a Christian is a lot like getting married. There has to come a point in time where you say, I do, to the Lord's proposal to save you. As Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, when did you come? When did you come? You haven't always come, because God, the Lord sent his son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Hey, you came into this world perishing. So when did you come to Jesus? And when were you taken from the broad road that leads to destruction and put on the narrow road that leads to life?
Yeah, and I think back just to the Old Testament, where they set up stones of remembrance, mm-hmm. you know, and how important that is in your own life to have those stones of remembrance, to remember, okay, this is when I came to a full understanding of what the gospel is, and when I received Christ. Well, this is a marker of when God showed this to me and really transformed this area of my life, where he worked a miracle in me in this situation. It's just important to have those stones of remembrance.
Right. And I think people who doubt, they doubt salvation. Doubting your salvation normally comes about when there's some sin that has gotten in your life that you start to wonder, have I really trusted Christ? Or you did trust Christ, or you came forward when you were younger and you didn't see a massive change. Because if you're 6, 7, 8 years old, you're not going to see a massive change most of the time. And so you can drift away in high school and college, and then you wonder, was I ever really saved? I don't know. It's hard. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. It's hard to know if that person's really been saved. But I always tell them, listen, let's nail it down today. And just say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, but today I want to nail this down. And if I've never really trusted you, then today I'm doing that. And if I did trust you when I was younger and I'm just having doubts, then show me that too. But I'm settling these doubts today, because I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I belong to Jesus.
Well, and it's important in those times, I think, to write that down. Write it in your Bible. Write the date down that you did that. That's a stone of remembrance. So if those thoughts come up again, you can go, oh, no, that I did this on this date. I remember specifically that I did this. That's just a good way to have that stone.
Debbie, I remember Gary Ayler, who was at Champion Forest, he told me this to do with kids that is so wonderful. So when a child receives Christ, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, he said, take an envelope. When you counsel that child, take an envelope and write that child's name on the envelope and say, this envelope represents your life. And then put a piece of paper that has Jesus on it and say, this represents Jesus. And you put Jesus in the envelope and you seal it, and you have the scripture, Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of your salvation, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, and who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. And you say, listen, on this date, and you date it, and you say, this is the date that you gave your life to Christ, and he promises that he'll come into your life and never leave you, never forsake you, and you keep this. And anytime you start doubting, you just remember, hey, with Pastor Jeff on this date, I asked Jesus to save me, and he says, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And I came to him in repentance and faith, and he saved me. God bless you, Vernon, and appreciate you listening to the program. We have time for one last call. We have Ron in Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for taking my call, and good morning to Debbie as well. You quoted a little earlier a favorite passage of John 8, 31 and 32. Of course, it starts out saying, if you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For me, Pastor Jeff and Debbie, the Christian doesn't have to grope amidst moral confusion today. There are actually some people that think that I can get pregnant. And then there are those that think that a girl can become a boy and a boy can become a girl. And Pastor Jeff, I've heard the XX chromosome for female, XY for male. That's, I mean, I learned that in high school. And, but yet there are those that are so morally confused, but yet for the Christian, and the truth will set you free. And that's a wonderful promise. That was my comment.
Amen. Good word, Ron. Thank you, my friend. You have a great voice, too. I know you've called in before, but I'd love to hear your voice. So that's exactly right. So when we surrender ourselves to the truth of God's word, the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of who we are, helpless, hopeless sinners, then we can put our faith in Jesus, who said that he will save those who come to him. And the one who comes to him, he will by no means cast out. Sometimes people think, well, I've sinned too greatly. The Lord can't receive me. He came for sinners. And the Apostle Paul said he's the chief of sinners. And Paul's testimony is this: if Jesus can save me, the chief of sinners, he can save you too.
Well, and it goes back to what I had said earlier in the broadcast, and that is, once you understand the gospel and you surrender your will to God's will and you start living his way, that's when life makes sense. That's when life makes sense. It's so much easier when you do things God's way, because he is the one who wrote the manual. When you do it the way the manufacturer tells you to do it, things just work better.
Yeah, they really do. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today, as Debbie and I talked about the gospel. And we've titled this program A Different Gospel with a question mark, because the enemy has a different gospel. A gospel that, as the old light beer commercial said, tastes great, less filling. The only problem is it doesn't save. Only the true gospel of Jesus Christ saves a person from hell forever and transports them to eternal life with Jesus. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and he will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.